Well, we're going to have a small class.
We're going to have a bit of a small class, but that's okay. We like small groups. I'd like to introduce Melissa Pace, and she is going to be presenting the class on safety restraints and child safety. So all of the questions that you had earlier today about those child safety restraints, you're going to get answered, hopefully, right? Melissa has, for the last 10 years, has been the court administrator at the city of Haltom.
Haltom,
okay. She graduated magna cum laude from the University of Texas in Arlington with her bachelor's in business administration. She's a member of the North Texas Court Clerks Association. She is currently serving on the education committee as well as teaching for the North Texas Court Clerks Association. She served on the audit committee for the Texas Court Clerks Association this year. She's a level 2 certified and working towards her level 3 certification. She was born and raised in the Texas Panhandle. Yay! So we give her, Melissa a warm welcome.
Hello. Glad to be here. Before I get started on the presentation, I just want to take a moment to ask if anyone is going to the TCCA annual conference this year in South Lake. Any plans? Great. Well, I just wanted to throw out there that TCCA does offer some scholarships if you're interested in going. I want to say $500 to $600, but please don't quote me on that. If you're interested in looking, go to the website, and you can find out some information on that. I also know that the classes that are being offered will be on some technology and security, so you might talk to your city about using your security and technology funds about possibly being able to attend. It'll be a really good conference. It's great to meet people. I can't tell you how many people I've networked with, and you know, everybody else has such great ideas, and to be able to share those ideas is the best part about it, I think. I've only been 4 times now, but I plan on continuing to go if at all possible. So I wanted to throw that out there. And then I also wanted to see, do any of you know a court clerk that you just think is outstanding? They do a great job, they work hard, they come up with good ideas. Somebody that just really needs to be recognized. If you do, I know there are a lot of you out there. I encourage you to go to the TCCA website and vote for them. We have 3 different awards that they can be nominated for. They don't have to attend the conference to be able to get the award. They just have to be a member in good standing. So if they're a member of TCCA and you think that they need to be nominated, they deserve to be rewarded for all the hard work they've done, I certainly encourage you to go online and make our jobs difficult. Give us a lot of people to look at. I'd love to see that this year. So with that being said, we're going to get started. Safety restraints. Wow, there was a lot this year. We know that there were a lot of changes. This was submitted by the men to the state legislature. That didn't pass. And then this was submitted by the women. Didn't pass either. Most of you by now have heard the changes that have occurred. Section 545.412 changed the age and height requirement. When was this effective? It was effective September the 1st. Any child under age 8, unless they're 4'9", must be in a child safety seat system. That may sound confusing because I said September 1, but most of you are probably going, what? We just started writing these, and you would be correct in that. The actual offense could not be prosecuted or written until June the 1st, which we've now passed that date, so you're probably seeing these offenses in your court now. Prior to that, they could only issue warning citations for that. Now, because of the way this was done, there was a lot of confusion. I have a question for you. How many of you had judges and or prosecutors that said, well, this doesn't really take effect until June the 1st, therefore there's no violation right now for a child safety seat system? Did anybody have that conclusion drawn? Nobody? Okay. There were a few that did that. I didn't personally agree with that. I think that old violation of under 5 to age 8 still applied until June 1st. It was still on the books. And there were some people that did that, and that's the prosecutor's job. He's going to file what he thinks can be filed. We're going to kind of skip over this because right now it doesn't really apply. June 1st took effect. So why? Why did they give that huge time frame? Was it to confuse us? It really did confuse us. But no, really, the reason was because they wanted to give time to communicate this to all the people that were going to be affected. And to be honest, until here recently, I didn't realize how many people would be affected. Obviously, all us parents that had younger children were going to be affected, and we needed time to get the child safety seats. I didn't realize how many daycares would be affected. My son attends a camp over the summer, and they start as young as first grade. Well, I went to pick him up the other day, and I saw 20 booster seats laying around. And just, it hit me at that point, well, all these other places have to have money. They have to have time to get the money together to be able to purchase all these seats that they didn't previously have to have. And then there are some that put that burden back on the parents. So now you're a parent who has to buy two child safety seats. You have to have one for you, and you have to have one for wherever your child is going for daycare. So it kind of makes sense that they gave us some time to do some saving for that. And also, well, I already said that. Let's move on. So why so tall? I have to be honest. When I first heard this law, I thought, you know, golly, they're going to be reaching the floor, and they're still going to be in a child safety seat. So I can't say I necessarily agreed with it at first, but as I started doing research for this class, I realized I still may not like it a lot, but it makes sense. And the reason they did this was that a safety seat belt can typically be worn with a when the person reaches a height of 4'9" safely. That means it correctly goes around their body to do what it's meant to do to protect them. Below that height, it doesn't necessarily protect them correctly and could cause injury. It's also recommended that children under 13 never ride in the front seat of a vehicle with an active airbag. And most of us know that. You put the sun visor down and you see the little note there that says not to do this. Now, we care so much about our pets. Why did it take us so long to do this for our children? Now, what changed? Let's go into specifics. Section 545.412. Now, that is specifically the section for the child safety seat system, not the seat belt, the safety seat system. The fine changed. The max is now $25 for the first offense. The second offense is up to is a maximum of $250. Now, what changed? What did it used to be? I think I heard the answer. Don't be shy. 100. 100 to 200. It mirrored exactly the seatbelt law for children. So now it's only $25. Or $250 if there's a subsequent offense. Now, how are you going to know if it's a subsequent offense? Good. She says the officer tells you. So the officer writes it down saying, this is a subsequent offense. Maybe he ran the record and he knows that they already have one of these on their record. Or maybe he wrote them previously, but I don't... Now that I think about that, that would make sense because he might not know it's on the record. But the officer files it that way. How is there another way that this could happen? I'm sorry? Exactly. Who would run that check? You could. Are you like the court clerk or the prosecutor? The prosecutor could certainly ask you to run that and file it as a subsequent offense. Is anyone doing this in their court right now? Okay, it takes a lot of work from a prosecutor. Most of us don't have full-time prosecutors or a prosecutor that would hand down an order to do this all the time. So most of us aren't doing that. When was this fine effective? September 1st, 2009. But that new violation wasn't effective until June 1st, 2010. So what does that mean? The old violation for 5 foot, for 5 to age 8, under age 8? That violation, you should have changed your fine to $25 at that time on September the 1st because it did change that. Any questions on that? Now, we still collect 50% of the fines and we send it to the comptroller at the end of the city's fiscal year, just like we've always done. The only difference is before you had a fine of $100 to $200, and depending on what you collected in that range, you sent half of that fine to the state. Now, your fine is going to be $25, or if it's filed as subsequent, it's $250, and the state's going to get half of that. Again, I'm not a math major, but I'm not sure why they did that. I think half of $100, $50, is more than half of $25 being $1,250. But whatever the reason, they decided to do that. So they're making less money, and it changed. Any questions on that? had someone ask me if it's if the form is different. Everything's exactly the same. The only difference is the amount that you're going to be sending them will probably be less. Now, effective January the 1st, we have a new court cost on the child safety seat system. And that is only on the child safety seat system. It is not on the seat belt for children. Okay? And it is on convictions only. I'm going to repeat that. Convictions only. And the reason we came to this conclusion is for a couple of reasons. If you go back and you look up every court cost that we collect, you will find one of two things underneath that section. It will either reference a local government code which tells you, for the purposes of this section, a conviction is considered deferred and some other things, which allows us to collect those court costs when we get deferred, even though it says conviction. This specific statute that wants us to collect this 15-cent court cost does not contain that. And it also does not specifically spell that out either. So it's not referencing the local government code, and it is also not saying, for the purposes of this court cost, deferred is considered a conviction. So this is strictly on convictions only. It's not collected like you do the other court cost. Any questions on that? Okay. It does say you have to submit it monthly. Now, let me preface that with this. 15 cents is not a lot of money. I'm not sure how many of these violations you're getting filed in your court. I don't know how long it's going to take you to really get a lot of money. I can tell you a couple of things. Number one, there is no violation set forth in there if you do not send it monthly. They did not put that in there. Number two, some of us have contacted the state comptroller about this. Does it have to be sent monthly? You know, it's going to cost us more in postage than it is the amount of money we're going to be sending you. So what they have told us is that we can send it quarterly with our quarterly court costs. So that's what a lot of us are doing. We've chosen to send it with our quarterly court costs. Now, I would caution you to speak with your city attorney and the powers that be at your city to make sure that they are okay with that. Would they prefer you send it monthly like it says we're supposed to? Or do they want you to send it quarterly? I'm sending it quarterly. And on that note, I want to give you the website that you can go to. Has anyone filed any of these yet? Monthly one? We've got a couple of people. I'm going to write down the website for you. And then I'll also pass around the form. I know I have it here. That you'll be filling out that you're going to send in. You basically go to this website. It's on the comptroller's website. You go to it. There's a form there that you're going to complete, and that's what you're going to send in with the money that you've collected on this 15-cent court cost. So I'm going to pass this around, just if y'all want to look at it and see what it is. And then I'm also going to write this up here real quick so that you have the form and know where to get it. And it's really long, so it's probably going to go across two. Okay, that's the website where you will find the form, and the form that you're looking for is Form 4149, and it's labeled Child Safety Seat Monthly Court Cost Payment. I'm sorry, right here? It's 40-149 up here. 40-forms. Sorry, I don't write very well. .html. Did everybody get that? Okay. I sent in an email early on back in August to the comptroller to get a legal opinion on the convictions that I discussed earlier, that we should only collect it on the convictions. I still have not received a response from that. I got a response that said they would turn it over to the legal authorities that be there, but I still have not gotten a response. So as for now, we haven't heard any differently, convictions only. If and when I ever get a response, I will certainly let anyone know and probably let, you know, TMCC know, obviously, so that they can post it, but have not heard anything differently from them. Yes, ma'am. To be able to get that's a good question, and I do not know the answer to that. I just know that that was the purpose of the court costs, that they were going to collect that. It's a very good question, though. I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they, it would stand to reason that they would set up some kind of a program once they get the money. I can't imagine they would have enough money right now, based on the amount that we're collecting, to be able to do anything with that yet. And so I apologize. I don't know the answer to that, but it's a very good question. Has anybody else heard anything about that? Any kind of a program being established? Not yet. Okay. Do we have any questions about that? And let me also let you know, please feel free to ask any questions as we go along. There are no silly questions. You know, the only reason we know things is because we ask and we learn. So this is how I felt. I don't know if that's how y'all felt. That's how I felt after I started going through all the new court cost stuff on the seatbelt. Something I did not mention that it doesn't have anything to do with the 15-cent court cost, but it is a court cost that we collect on that. The child safety seat system, you also will see a 10-cent court cost on there now, the new 10-cent moving violation court cost. Child safety seat system is on the list for moving violations, so you would also collect that 10 cents on there as well. That is correct. Not for the seat belts or not for the child safety or for the child seat belt. I don't know why I did. I noticed I did this in my last class too. I don't know. That's my way in my brain of deciphering the two of them, I guess. But strictly just on the child safety seat system. Now, I know right before I left my office last week, then the email went out that there is a new moving violations list that DPS has developed. I have not looked at that to see if that changed, to see if they added the child seat belt violation on there. But prior to that, it was not on there. It was only the child safety seat. So you might double check. If you run the new list, you might go in there and see if that's been added. But I didn't get a chance to look before I left. Any more questions? Okay. So this particular thing does not apply to persons operating a vehicle transporting passengers for hire, excluding third-party transportation services, contracting through Medicaid. And so they don't have to be in the child safety seat system. Or, this is my personal favorite, if you're transporting basically more people than should be in the vehicle, if you have more people in there than you have seat belts, then the child doesn't have to be in the child safety seat. So pick your favorite child and then move on. I'm not sure why, but that's in the books. So there are some defenses to this, defenses to prosecution. So if you're operating the vehicle in emergency or for law enforcement purposes, then the child does not have to be in the child safety seat. Second one, evidence satisfactory to the court that the defendant possesses what? Very good. Yes, she says a child safety seat, and that would be correct. So, evidence satisfactory to the court. What does that mean? Satisfactory to the court. Show me. Bring in proof to the judge. So it's up to your judge and or prosecutor. I would venture more on prosecutor, but I know there are some of us that don't have full-time judges, so it ends up being the judge's job. Yes, ma'am. It's discretionary, and the reason is because it specifically says satisfactory to the court. So what's satisfactory to my prosecutor may not be satisfactory to your prosecutor or your prosecutor. My prosecutor may require that they bring in the child safety seat and they show that they bought that. Maybe they have to have a receipt or something along those lines. We don't do that, but I've heard several different stories from different places. Some people say that their judge tells them, just bring me one back. They don't care. You know, it could be the neighbors. Exactly. She says maybe they couldn't afford it, so their family members gave them one. So it's things that you need to discuss with your prosecutor and or judge and see what they're going to require. Are you going to have to set a court date? And then what do you need to let the defendant know, if anything? We don't tell the defendant that. It's not our responsibility to tell them what the law is, so we don't tell them what the law is. I know in some courts, some prosecutors and judges do tell them, and that's up to them if they want to do that. But how are some of the ways your courts are handling this? Anything any different? Do any of them require... Go ahead. Anybody? Do any of them require anything specific other than just bring me the car seat in here so I can see it? Just bring the car seat in here. Yeah, I found this very interesting because as we've all kind of discussed here, you could go borrow your neighbor's and bring it in and then leave, or you could buy one and then take it back. I mean, it doesn't really prove you had the child safety seat. And it doesn't even say it has to be proven that you had it at the time. It just says you have to have one. That would kind of make sense, wouldn't it? Yeah, she says they should have it and have to show you they can put it in the car. Yeah, that would make sense. Again, just talk with your prosecutors and find out what they think is satisfactory to them before they'll get it dismissed. Child under 8, unless they're 4'9". Let's go over what they can get. Do they qualify for the special DSC? Yes, I'm sorry. A child under age 8, unless 4'9", in the child safety seat, section 512. I said that backwards, 512. I can't remember. That's sad. Let me go back. No, I don't have the section in here. But yeah, we are talking about the child safety seat system. So would they qualify for special DSC? Yes, they would. Special DSC, does anyone know what I'm referring to when I say that? I hear a lot of people saying it. Exactly. It's a special driving safety seat course that they have to take that includes extra time going over child safety seat restraint. So, yes, they would qualify for it. What about just regular DSC? Would they qualify for that? That's correct. And the reason is because of the nature of the offense. If they want to get it dismissed through DSC, they have to take the special DSC class. What about deferred? Do they qualify for deferred to keep it off the record? Yes, I see a lot of noddings of yes. And the answer is yes, they qualify if the judge wants to give it to them. Again, it's discretionary upon the judge. So if the judge says, yes, I will give this to you, you can. Yes. We have a website, and I did not bring it to you, but there is a website that you can go to find driving safety course classes that are state, they have to go through the TEA, Texas Education Agency. So if you go to the TEA website, you can find a listing of those that are certified to teach. TEA, Texas Education Agency. And I'll give you my information at the end if anybody wants to email me or call me. I've got it at my office. We hand those out. I will tell you to ask your city attorney if he's okay with that. We do. We are not telling them you have to take one off this list. We are not telling them you have to have it. If they come to us and they select to take their driving safety course, either way, flat out or through this way, then we have a list of different things that we give them. It has 4 or 5 different websites on it. But one is this website that tells them where you can go to find a certified class. Another one is the Texas DPS website so that they can get their driving record if they're flat out taking defensive driving for a ticket dismissal. And again, we just simply give this to them for their informational purposes. We don't tell them they have to take it. I think it's a good idea because it gives them all the information and arms them with what they need to be able to complete it. They don't. You're exactly right. She says many people don't know where to go to get to take their course. And unless they happen to see the sign down by the local restaurant that's doing it, they probably don't know. So if you can arm them with information of where they can go to find some certified courses, again, talk with your city attorney. And if they don't find anything wrong with that, then I certainly think it's a good idea. Any more questions in reference to that? I have this later in the slide, but I like to put it in here, so I'm going to back up. What if the person that comes to your court is under age 25 and they received a citation for not having their child in a child safety seat system? Specifically talking about deferred. Is there anything that you think should happen special with that case? If the judge is going to give them deferred, they're under 25. she says they would be required to take the special DSC class, and you're very, very close. Yes, they would be required to take a driving safety class, not necessarily the special one. And the reason is because they're taking it under deferred. They're getting deferred, and the law says if this is a moving violation, which the child safety seat system is on the list of moving violations, and you're under 25, you have to take a driving safety course as a condition to that. It doesn't specify it has to be the specialized one in this case because they're taken under deferred. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah, she asked if the judge can make it a requirement. The judge should make it a requirement. And the reason is because, again, the law says if they're under 25 and they're getting deferred and it's a moving violation, they should take a driving safety course as a condition. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I apologize. I don't always comprehend everything. So are you asking me if the judge can make it a condition? Thank you very much. And I love interpretation because my clerks tease me all the time. I get in one zone, and that's what I focus on. So thank you. Yes, he could certainly make it a condition that they take the specialized course, which would kind of make sense. That's a very good question. Very good question. Any other questions? Okay. Now we're going to move on to the seat belt, my little seat belt. Child is at least 8 and under age 17. Section 545.413b, they must be in a seat belt, again, if the seat is equipped with one. What is the minimum and maximum fine allowed by law for this particular violation? We mentioned it earlier. Does anyone remember? Very good. $100 to $200. They did not change this one. They only changed the child safety seat. So this one is still $100 to $200. Now, are they eligible for special DSC? Very good. Yes, they're eligible for the special DSC. What about a DSC class, just a regular driving safety school class? No, very good. They're not, because if they're going to get it, they have to take the specialized one. What about deferred? A lot of head nodding, yes. Very good. They do qualify. Same as we discussed earlier with the other one. Up to the judge. If the judge grants it, they can certainly get deferred. And the same caveat with the under 25. Well, no, it's not the same caveat. What if this person is under 25 years of age? There is a they're issued a violation for letting a child age 8, under 17, be in their car without a seatbelt on. And they're under 25 and they're getting deferred. Do they have to take a driving safety school class? They do not. Right. The other one isn't. The child safety seat system is a moving violation. This one is not a moving violation. And again, I'm going to preface that with, I know there's a new list that just went out that I did not have the opportunity to look at. Has anybody else? Okay. So you might check that because that could have changed since I last looked at it. But as of me doing this previously, it was not on there. So you would not treat it as a moving violation. Any questions about that? Okay. Now, just the same as before, this did not change. You're going to send 50% of the court cost, or not court cost, 50% of your fine to the state comptroller, just as you did before. Didn't change. So you'll send it all at one time with your other one. The only difference is the other one, the fine decreased. Any questions about that? I read this headline and this caught my eye. The deadliest of combinations, a 15-passenger van overloaded with 20 school children operated by an unlicensed driver. Rollover and catastrophic injuries. So that brings us to this. There's a new violation, Section 545.413b1. The person commits an offense if they allow a child age 8 but less than 17 to ride in a passenger van designated transport 15 or less, this is long, I know y'all can read, including the driver, without being in a seat belt, if the seat is equipped with one. And you see that everywhere, if the seat is equipped with one. This is new, so you should start seeing more people. I think of daycares. Daycares mostly, this is probably going to affect the passenger vans. They have the larger passenger vans. They're going to have the seat belts in them. What is the minimum and maximum fine for this particular violation? It's $100 to $200. $100 to $200. Now, here's something else I'm going to throw out there that I still do not have a confirmed answer on from the comptroller. It falls under the same section as the child seatbelt, the age 8 under 17. And in there, we know that it told us to send 50% of the fines for that. This particular violation, let me go back, falls under section 545.413, which is also the seatbelt for the child, but it's section B1. So there's some question as to whether or not we should send 50% of this to the state comptroller or not. I don't have a good answer. As of now, I'm not. And until I get something that tells me to, I'm not going to. But I encourage you to look at that and maybe make a determination on your own or talk to your city attorney. Yes, ma'am. Legally, if it's required to have it, that's what it's referring to. So if it's legally required to have and be equipped with a seatbelt in there, then they're supposed to be wearing it. Did that answer your question? Yes. That would really be up to the officer. As you stated, in a vehicle or a car, the officer could ride it either way. So I see this is exactly the same. The officer could ride if there's 8 people in there and they should all have seatbelts on, could write the driver for all 8 of them or could write a ticket to each individual person that should be wearing their seatbelt. Just depends on how the officer wants to do it. Is there any other questions? And we discussed this already. I skipped ahead on this. This particular violation, we said, is between $100 and $200. Is it eligible for special DSC? It's not. It is. I apologize. It is. It's eligible for special DSC because it still falls under the section we were just talking about, which is 545.413. So it is special DSC. It does qualify for. What about regular DSC? No. And the deferred? Yes. Just as all the others we talked about. If the judge gives it, yes, they can get it. And we discussed this earlier because I thought it made sense to go along as we were talking about each violation, the under age 25. Same applies here. This is not a moving violation, so they would not have to take the driving safety course as a condition if they're under 25. Let's talk about school buses a little bit. Most school buses are not equipped with any seat belts. We know that. A lot of us have ridden on them in our time. They don't have it. It's required for all these other things, automobiles, commercial motor vehicles, but we didn't require it for the school buses for some reason. 5 states currently mandate some form of seatbelt on school buses. Only 5. I was surprised to find that out. New York, New Jersey, Florida, Louisiana, California. So what do we have that protects our children in our school buses? Compartmentalization. That's all we have right now. Compartmentalization. All that is basically is a fancy way in my eyes of saying we've got these really tall seats in front of them that are kind of cushioned. That's it. So if they're in a wreck, they're hoping that's going to prevent them from getting hurt. Maybe it will a little, but if, let's say, the bus rolls over or is in a really bad accident, it's not going to give them a lot of protection at all. But that's all we have right now. So why should Texas make a change? Why should we change this? TxDOT reports an average of over 7 fatality and 857 non-fatal school bus accidents a year. I didn't realize there were that many. Obviously more than I realized. These, again, are just some more statistics that you can read that's in there of why we should really change it. I thought this was interesting. The American Academy of Pediatrics reported 17,000 U.S. children to the emergency rooms each year. Of course, it just varies depending on the severity of the accident, but that's what we're getting from just having the compartmentalization. So what are we doing? What are we, as the state of Texas, doing to change this? As of September 1st, 2010, each school bus purchased will have to be equipped with a lap shoulder seat belt. Here's the kicker. If the legislature passes the funding needed. It sounded really good at first. I don't know where the funding's going to come from on this. But again, it's only going to matter if the legislature passes the funding for it. So they're trying, but they're going to have the money to put behind it. Texas believes it'll cost the state about $580 million in 2010 and 2011 school year to replace the buses, to start replacing them with buses that have the seatbelts in them. So we're talking about a lot of money. It's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully we're at least getting in the right track, going in the right track. So let's talk about more seatbelt violations. Section 545.413A, if you're at least 15 years of age, you must wear a seatbelt if the seat is equipped with one. So legally, is it supposed to be there? And if it is, you should be wearing it while it's in operation. This is new. Everyone in the vehicle at all times, no matter what your age is, front, back seat, you should be in a seatbelt. That one's new. Most of us have heard this, but it is definitely new. Something else, I don't know if y'all have ever gone to the TMCC website and looked at some of their charts. This one's nicer. I really like this, especially when there used to be a little bit more going on here, but now that they made it to where everyone can get a violation, it's not as difficult. But it's a really nice little chart that tells you if they're sitting here, how much would the fine be and what can they get charged with. I really like it. It's on the TMCU website, and I think it's very helpful. So I like to give that information out. So we know that they have to wear it no matter where they're at in the vehicle. Now, if it's not the driver that's getting the violation, they're at least 15 years of age, what is the minimum and maximum fine that this person can get for getting a ticket for this violation? They're not wearing their seatbelt. They're at least 15 years of age, and they're not driving the vehicle. I think I heard it. One more time. 25 to 50. The child ones are 100 to 200 child seatbelt. These are not. Okay, what about special DSC? Are they eligible for a special DSC course? They're not the driver. Correct. I heard some no's. That is correct. They're not driving the vehicle, but they are getting the seatbelt ticket. They're not eligible for a special DSC. What about a DSC course? No, they're not eligible for DSC either. What about deferred? They could get deferred if they wanted to keep it from being a conviction. The judge could give them the deferred. I know, that's what I'm saying. It's difficult. It's a lot of subtle nuances. You know, what was their age? Were they the driver? Are they not the driver? It is difficult. And again, that same chart, on the flip side of it, there's a lot of really helpful information. And what it does is it breaks it down into the different violations, and it tells you, are they eligible for DSC, special DSC, all these things that we're going over. So I would encourage you to go to the TMCU website and print that out. It's very, very helpful. So what if they are the driver? They're the driver, they're at least 15 years of age, and they've gotten a ticket for not wearing their seatbelt. What's the minimum and maximum fine allowed by law for that one? I've heard some people say it, 25 to 50. It's the same as the other. Now, are they eligible for a special DSC course? No. What about DSC? This is the driver getting the ticket. Very good. A lot of head nodding. They are. They are eligible for just a regular, flat-out driving safety course because they're driving the vehicle. Now, I don't know about y'all. I've not had very many people actually request that on a seatbelt ticket, but they could take it and get it dismissed. What about deferred? Exactly. Just as the others, if the judge grants it, they can get deferred. Did you know that there are 7 reasons you don't have to wear a seatbelt? 7 of them. So let's count them down. Number 7, if the person possesses a written statement from a licensed physician. Now, this is talking about when they're pulled over. If they're pulled over and they have a note from a licensed physician that they could show the officer at the time, then the officer doesn't have to write the violation. Now, It's up to the officer if they, I guess, believe that note to be valid. Because we have had some where the officer writes the ticket anyway. In most of those cases, the note is several years old. So they basically, the officer is telling us they want proof more current than that. But the officer, if he's presented with this note at the time of the stop, does not have to write the violation because that is, as we stated earlier, a reason you don't have to wear that seatbelt. So let's move down to number six. In the same area, we're still talking about a statement from a physician, but this is what they present to us. So they get the ticket for no seatbelt. They can present to the court not later than 10 days after the date of offense, a statement from a licensed physician that says that they do not have to wear this seatbelt for medical reasons. Now, do any of you have this happening in your court now? Have you had this happen? Here's some. Okay, and how are y'all handling those specifically? What kind of rules do you have laid out for that? The judge is just saying, if they bring it up here, give it to me and I'll accept it. Okay, so you set them a court date. Very good. Okay, you set them a court date and then they bring it before the judge. Okay, does he? Ah, very good. Okay, so her judge is a little specific. You're going to set a court date, you're going to come before me, and it's going to be from an El Paso physician. Does it have to be a certain time frame, like within the last 6 months, or does he care? Okay, at the time of the ticket that they didn't have to have it. Very good. Anybody else? I think I saw a hand go up. Did you? Yeah, no, go ahead. Mm-hmm. That is correct. If exactly, this is yes. It's a defense to the offense. So if, and again, that's going to be something you need to discuss with your prosecutor and or judge in some courts. What are they going to require? Her judge has some very specific things that he wants to see in that note. You need to discuss that and find out. Do they have to set the court date for the judge to see it? How are you going to handle those things? Any other questions in reference to this? Okay. The person is employed by the Postal Service and they're actually performing that duty. Just being employed doesn't mean you don't have to wear a seatbelt. You have to actually be delivering mail, in the process of delivering mail. Number four, they're delivering newspapers, and again, you're doing it at that moment. So if you're in the process of delivering newspapers and you're in and out a lot, you don't have to be wearing it at that moment. Number three, you're employed by a public or private utility company. So all of our meter readers that work for the city, if they're getting in and out of their vehicle frequently to read meters at that moment, they don't have to wear their seatbelt. Number two, the person is operating a commercial vehicle registered as a farm vehicle under Section 502.163. Now, I would encourage you to read a little bit more about that. I've had several questions on this. One being, there's a registered farm vehicle and they're in town. Does that mean they don't have to wear the seatbelt? The answer is no. There's some specifics under 502.163 that tells you. They have to be performing farm duties. They have to be in the performance of using it for a farm vehicle. Just because it's a vehicle that's registered as a farm vehicle doesn't mean you can go to the city and just drive around without a seatbelt. There's some specifics to it. Any other questions? Okay, the number one reason you don't have to wear a seatbelt, you work for trash duty. You're in and out picking up trash, putting it in the vehicle. All those make sense. Section 545.414, ride in open beds of the truck. Children under the age of 18 cannot ride in the open bed of the pickup. This has changed a lot since most of us grew up. I think a lot of us used to ride in the back of the pickup, and that was a lot of good fun. But now you can't do it anymore. I guess too many injuries from it. So we have a fine of $25 to $200. And there are some defenses to prosecution, kind of like we discussed a while ago over the seatbelt, some reasons that you can get your ticket dismissed. These are the same things. I don't have these listed in here, but the statute does have some. Section 545.416. Under 5 years of age, you should not be on a motorcycle. It'll cost your parents some money, $100 to $200. So don't put them on there. Well, actually, I guess the kid's going to get the ticket, it looks like. And he doesn't look none too happy about it either. So why are seatbelts so important? We're running out of time, so I won't go into detail over this. You can read this, but there's at the very last, this is basically telling you the amount of money that's costing our society for not wearing seatbelts. And it's an astounding amount of money. And not only that, but if you're unbuckled, medical costs are costing about 50% more money because it's causing more injuries from not being in seatbelts. I want to go to this last slide because I just thought these were kind of interesting. Maybe I went too far. Here we go. These were just some statistics on who is wearing and who is not wearing seatbelts. Seatbelt use was lower among blacks than any other race. I don't know why, just a stat. Seatbelt use was higher among females than males, and I think we know why, because we do everything we're told to do. Seatbelt use was lower among drivers who drove alone than with passengers, because you don't have your child nagging you, Mom, you're supposed to be wearing your seatbelt. Put your seatbelt on. And then the last one, seatbelt use was lowest among ages 16 to 24. And, you know, all of this is guesses as to why they don't, but I remember when I was young, I didn't think anything was ever going to happen to me. So you tend to kind of live under that. But I thought those stats were very interesting. Are there any questions? And before y'all leave, I need to pass this around and have each of you sign that you were here. That's very important for their grant. Are there any questions specifically that I did not go over? Okay. Well, as soon as you sign this, y'all are free to leave. And thank you very much. Y'all are a great class. I hope y'all have a good time here.
Okay, so we're going to have a short break, 10 minutes, be back at 3. Yeah, we're going to have a general session in here, so everybody's going to be back into this room again. And then we're going to break again on another breakout after that, okay? So as soon as you sign this, you can enjoy your break. You can go and, you know, come back too and maybe take turns signing, whatever you want to do.